We would like to wrap up the stage today, so please bear with me as we go through these things. We're going to start by reading some portion of Scripture. Today is indeed Sunday, March 24th. We've been considering things that have to do with go deeper with God, and I want to continue with what I started last week, where I entitled that message, Your Mind is the Battlefield. And we're going to read some scriptures to start. We're going to read from Matthew chapter 13, verses 18 through 23, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 2, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 to 6, and James chapter 1, verses 19 to 25. I'm going to ask people in the congregation to read this out loud, but I'm going to ask you to use the mic so that your voice is on the recorded teaching here. So Matthew chapter 13, this is Jesus' explanation of the parable of the sower. Ross, could you read that for us, please?
Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is the one on whom the seed was sown beside the road. The one on whom the seed was sown on the rocky places, this is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no firm root in himself, but it is only temporary. And when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he falls away. And the one on whom the seed was sown among the thorns, this is the man who hears the word, and the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And the one on whom the seed was sown on the good soil, this is the man who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and brings forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30.
Thank you. Normie, would you read Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 2 to us?
Romans 12, 1 to 2. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect.
And Linda, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, please, verses 3 through 6.
For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful, for the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying speculation and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And we are ready to punish all disobedience whenever your obedience is complete.
Amen. Thank you. And Sheetal, I'll put you on the spot. I've been putting Sheetal on the spot lots lately, so. James chapter 1, 19 through 25.
This you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. But prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers of who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does.
Amen. Thank you very much. As I said, we are considering some things that have to do with going deeper with God. If you have been a Christian for any length of time or been involved with church things at all, you will likely recognize that going deeper with God is a good thing that we ought to be involved with. Well, not is it a good thing, you know, for the sake of appearance. It is a vital thing for us as human beings that we think about going deeper with God. And in our messages so far, some points that I think are critical that you need to take a hold of, and I don't have time today to go back and elaborate each one, so I'll try not to. I keep saying that, and then I go back and elaborate. You know, the first thing when it comes to thinking about and understanding this whole idea of going deeper with God is you really genuinely have to recognize there is more for us in God. There is more for us. Now, on the one hand, that's like a dead obvious statement. But at the same time, you know, so much in God is taking things that we do know, we understand, we ought to say, and then beginning to express them and declare them and proclaim them, because this world wants us to settle at, I know it. Well, we need, for example, to tell ourselves and say, you know, there is more for me in God. And not just that, I'm not disqualified from having more in God. Because another scheme of our adversary is, well, there may be more in God, but you've blown it. You know, the fact of the matter is, God specializes in people who've blown it. Really? So we never have to be thrown by the fact that I've made a huge mess. One of the things, as I said to you earlier, you know, the whole aspect of keeping the inside of you in a good place, one of the aspects of that is remembering that when you have blown it, to remember there are greater things in place than your power to blow things. The blood of Jesus is speaking on our behalf. I don't care how badly you've messed up. You can't mess up so badly that the blood of Jesus says, I don't know what to do here. It is saying, this has been completely taken care of. And our problem oftentimes when we make a mess of things is that what we hear more loudly than anything else is the voice of the mess than the voice of Jesus saying, I already knew about this, and it's been covered. The blood of Jesus is speaking on our behalf. We need to remember ourselves and work with ourselves and say, there is more for me. I want to have more in the Lord. Again, let's not be surfacey people or who are only concerned about the appearance. Do you want more in the Lord? Of course. Who's going to say no to that? But let's go beyond that and say, you know, there is more for me, and I want to hold on to it. I want to lay hold of it. I will not settle for less. And therein lies the problem, which I think pervades the Western church. We settle for so much less than has been purchased for us. Let's not be like that. But rather, let's help our brethren by showing, actually, even people like us can have more. I think I specialize in screwing things up. And then I remember that, you know, I'm almost the perfect candidate to show that God can do something great, even with somebody who screws things up. There is never a reason for us to give up. There is more for us in the Lord. And, you know, as we grow in the Lord and as we go on with Him, this is something that has to become a part of our way of thinking. His kingdom come is our purpose. Every thought that we have that is more oriented around the stuff that God can do for me is really an immature thought. There is lots that God can do for you. There's no question about that. But as we grow up in the Lord, it becomes apparent, actually, what this is really about is God does things for me that I might be an instrument for Him. His purpose is what matters. And we talked about that when we, you know, briefly considered Jesus teaching His disciples to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done here on earth. That implies that it's not automatic, right? And last week we started considering, so what exactly is the problem? What is it that keeps us from going deeper with God? And that battlefield really is our mind. Because if I asked you, so, you know, you, O saint, who has been born again, who maybe you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit as well, which is something you need. I don't mean to imply that that's an option. And you've done all the things that you're supposed to do as a Christian. You know, what is stopping you, who wants to go on with God, from going on with God? There's a teacher who very painfully said, we have as much of God as we really want. And I say painfully because that means that I only have as much as I really want, and I'm exposed in terms of maybe the problem is me wanting. You know, I will tell you, I'll act as a covering for you. My first tendency is to blame God for stuff. And then God, in his kindness, shows me, actually, son, the problem here is you're using that as an excuse from seeing that the issue is what you're choosing. What you're choosing. It's so much easier to blame God when I don't get healed, when I don't get this, when I don't, that doesn't happen. Instead of seeing God has made a way for us. What is keeping you from going on in the Lord? Is it true to say, well, the whole reason why I haven't gone on in the Lord is I am 50 pounds overweight. That's why. Only skinny people can walk with the Lord. Does that even make a lick of sense? I hope you think no. God doesn't look at the outside. He looks at the inside. If he is at all interested in what's going on the outside of you, like your body and how you look and all that, it's only if it is a reflection of something going on the inside. So I'll give you an example. And I'll put myself in the shoes again because I know that this is what the Lord is going to be dealing with me in. If the reason why I am overweight is a complete lack of self-control, it's not so much that eating too much hurts me, but the lack of self-control is really quite a problem. And it could be that the way that God wants to help me with regards to self-control is to help me with regards to how I eat. But do you understand that it's not how much I weigh that really matters to him? It's what's going on inside me that matters to him. And the only reason he would deal with something on the outside like that is because he wants to deal with something on the inside. So what is going on the outside of me is never the reason why I am or am not going on with the Lord. Then maybe it's my spirit. You know, that spirit that the scriptures say has been made one with God the day I got born again. When I was born again, what happened? You know, it was our anniversary a little while ago. I bought my wife some flowers and they looked fabulous. They really looked nice. At least I thought they did. Well, she thought so too. She's very sweet. If I gave her a bunch of dandelions, she'd say, oh, that's so sweet. But I didn't give her dandelions. I gave her nice flowers, and they looked great. But you know what? A week later, they looked terrible. Why? What? What did you say? Somebody had some snide comment.
No, I was just thinking it.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to say, that's because you cheaped out. No, why did they look so bad? You know, it's a very apt picture of us as human beings. Why did they look bad? They looked great at the start. When they were connected to the source of their life, they looked great. And a few days after they were cut off from the source of their life, they still looked fine, but they were already dying. And a week later, it just became apparent that they were dead. Likewise with us. Before we were born again, we were disconnected from the source of life, God himself. And in his loving kindness, he made a way in Jesus for us to be born again. Not everybody is a son or daughter of God. It is a misunderstanding to think that because God loves everybody, that he thinks of them all as his children. It says very specifically in the book of John, this is who is a son, those who received him. Well, the day, if you haven't, you need to, and please come and talk to me or anybody else in the church. You need to receive him, but the day you received him, what happened? It's almost like that flower got reconnected to its roots, and it can live again. It can live again. Well, the scriptures say, my spirit, the part of me that was dead and now is alive, was made one spirit with the living God. And unfortunately, we don't have time to look at this, but you could very reasonably argue from Scripture, your spirit is completely fine. In Romans, you know, in that passage that talks, that controversial passage that says, you know, there are things that I don't want to do that I end up doing, and there's things that I should do that I don't want to do. That whole thing, in the midst of that, he does say this, but the man inside loves the law of God. Something has happened to this person where before he just wanted his own way, now at least on the inside he's thinking, I love what God says. I just have a problem carrying it through, it seems. But I love what God says. I will contend that the reason you do or do not go on with God has nothing to do with your spirit. You have been born again. You have been born again if you follow the Lord. You have been washed clean. You know, when the scriptures say things like this, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, if any man is in Christ, He is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. What aspect of your being is that referring to? Is it referring to your physical body? The day you got born again, did you get a new body? You will be getting one. That is a promise yet to come. But you did not get a new body. Am I losing you here? Like, did somebody else get a new body? Because I sure didn't. So what part of my being is he talking about when he says, you have become new? It's not my physical body. And if you confuse that and saying, well, I'm supposed to have a new body, but I don't know what happened, so maybe I'm not a good Christian, you're missing the point here. Yes, what has happened can flow to affect our bodies. There is a very real provision in God for the thing that has happened to us to affect even our bodies. I completely agree with that. But clearly, he's not talking about you got a new body. What is he talking about? Is he talking about you got a new mind? I don't know about you, but I still think loopy things. And the problem for me is, I like to think I have a good mind. So when I think something loopy, it looks really quite clever, but it's still fallen. It's still stupid. Any calculation in my mind that ends up with it making sense to me to not obey God has got to be by definition loopy. But I wish I could tell you, I have never had the experience where my reasoning said my way didn't make sense. Oftentimes my way makes a lot of sense, and it's just the kindness of God to continue to help me. Clearly, it's not my mind that has been renewed already, but my spirit has been made new. We have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, Ephesians starts off. Everything that God wants to give you is already yours. Where? In the realm of the Spirit. We live simultaneously in more than one realm. And again, unfortunately, I don't have time to go into it, but I don't think that's an odd thought for you, that there is a spiritual side of you, a physical side of you, and then there's something in between wherein the things that need to happen have to happen, and that is in our mind. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul, as a bit of an aside almost in his main point, he's saying, look, we're not dealing with things as if it was just a matter of reasoning with you. There are spiritual weapons that need to be used. And he begins to identify what they need to be used against there. He said, we are destroying speculations and lofty thoughts. He makes it clear that the thing that needs to be dealt with in your life is the things that you are thinking, how you think. Second, in Romans chapter 12, it talks about transformation. The will of God in my life, which is to be a transformation, requires a renewing of mind. This world tries to influence how you expect, what you think, what you reach out for. The spirit of this world, who hates the fact that God rescued you, is still trying to influence you. And therein lies the battle for us going on or not going on with God. What God wants to do has got to do with the very way I think changing. Last week, I think I shared with you about a Christian artist, a musician who I personally like quite a bit, who shared on his Facebook site, and the only reason I went to the Facebook site was I heard this news. I'm not particularly a follower or anything. That he had been diagnosed with myeloma. And he said that it was incurable. He'd been given a few years to live. And then he did what I think good, spirit-filled, evangelical-type Christians do. I'm in for the fight of my life. We're going to show Satan that he's not going to take it easy. And it sounds like that he is going to fight this thing. But if you read carefully all that he's saying, because he's gone to all the doctors, he's got their diagnosis, he says it's not looking good, I'm just facing so many more giants than even David faced, which kind of threw me because it was not David who faced the giant. Well, he faced one giant, so it was, never mind. So he's got all these right words about we're going to fight, I'm going to show Satan, wrapped in, this ain't going to work anyway. Unfortunately, that's what so often happens to us. We know the right things to say we should expect, to say is going to happen. God's going to deliver me out of this. But we don't genuinely, we're not completely united with that word on the inside. Our expectation is less than that. And here, because we are so clever, we don't recognize that because I know to say the right things, I'm not necessarily believing the right things. There is a conflict in my head between what I'm supposed to say is true, what God says, and what I really think is true. Who in their right mind expects to get out of a boat and walk on water? I mean, come on. I can't imagine any one of you think that it's not possible, because obviously it happened. But if we were to go down to, I don't know, Bowness Park and have a barbecue there, are any of you planning to walk on the boat because it happened once? Well, yeah. Now's not the time to have that barbecue. I'm talking about in the summertime when it's liquid. Well, see, here's a situation where we know theoretically it's possible, but practically our expectation is not that it's possible. And this is what God wants to get at. See, we're talking about things that are so deeply seated within us. It's not merely a matter of information. There are things that are so deeply seated in me as to what I think is possible that it takes something beyond my intellectual ability. And I'll say that, okay, let's say I'm the brightest person you've ever met, and I have the greatest mental capacity of anybody that you know. It's still not going to be enough. And by the way, that, none of that is true. I'm just saying, if it was, it still wouldn't be enough. So what? How does this work? Now, I should say something here. You know, we're talking in the context of going deeper with God. I will confess to you that sometimes I read stories about people who have an encounter with God that is just dramatic. There was a man named John G. Lake who lived at the turn of last century, like 1900 onwards, sort of when he was ministering. And he had an experience with God that so profoundly changed him that his expectation everywhere he went was anybody he prayed for would be healed, and they were dramatically and miraculously healed. Now, he was praying for people, and they were getting healed, and he didn't think he was baptized in the Holy Spirit. His personal internal conflict was, I so want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. But he was doing stuff that everybody else would think, oh, what are you talking about? That's not possible if you were baptized in the Holy Spirit. But he kept crying out to the Lord, I want to be so filled with you. I want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And one day he had an experience that was physical. It shook him. It was like electricity ran through him, and it completely changed his life. Well, I read stories like that, and I think that's what I need to go on deeper with God. I need an experience that just completely takes me to the next stage, as it were. And I have to say, we should never rule out God doing something like that. God is absolutely free to give each and every one of us a supernatural experience that completely changes our hair color, and we never, you know, we float an inch off the ground thereafter. That is completely within his right and reason to do. But you know what? Much of what God wants us to do doesn't work that way. It works with God having made a provision and you stepping into it. I'll illustrate that with an example. There was a man in India. I wish I could remember his name. This was like in darkest India, meaning like in some parts in India, it is so oppressed and so dark. You know, when you hear stories of wives being burned and things like that, that's not happening all over India. Like the part where Sheetal and I are from, you rarely hear anything like that. But the north part of India, there are places that are so oppressed. Well, in this village that had never heard about God at all, about Jesus at all, Jesus literally appeared to a man and said, you are my servant. Repent and follow me. And he started telling everybody about Jesus. In a village that had never had somebody come to them and say anything about Jesus, Jesus literally appeared to this man. So shall we therefore conclude? Great. Our evangelism program is basically going to consist of waiting for Jesus to show up and tell people that they should follow him. Because that's what God did, right? He did it. assuming that you believe the report, and I think it's credible because he changed stuff in that area, and that wouldn't have happened if he hadn't had an encounter with God. So is it right for us to conclude? Well, since God can give people an encounter, we have evidence of that, we should all wait? Of course it doesn't make sense. We recognize that people can have that kind of encounter with God, but we were instructed, right? Go, make disciples. Not wait for me to show up and then you take over. The fact that God can do something any old way he wants doesn't negate the fact that he has given us instruction. Here's how I want you to proceed. He is welcome to come alongside and pick us up. You know, when my little girl has now got to the point where she can climb up and down the stairs, kind of, right? Up is not bad. Down is a weird adventure of turning around and then sliding on her butt, and it takes quite a bit of time. She can come up and down now. We don't necessarily lock the gate at the top. But am I not always free to come alongside and just pick her up and take her up the stairs? If I want to? Sure, of course I am. But she can still get up to the top of the stairs without me doing that. Because the way has been made for it. I'm not saying that we're going to break into something God doesn't want to give us. God has decided to give us the kingdom gladly. But there is a way for us. How is this going to work? How do we deal with such strong thoughts I have in my head about what really is possible? If I have got a diagnosis and the best doctors are saying, you got 3 months to live, boy. And, you know, I'm a scientific kind of guy. These aren't doctors who are just making stuff up and, you know, throwing some beads in a bowl and shaking about and throwing out and saying, looks like 3 months. These are people who do scientific tests. And if you're anything like me, that carries a great deal of weight. That whole scientific process carries a great deal of weight. How do I deal with something like that, that is so strong? And then, of course, God says, by his stripes I was healed. Internally, it's not difficult to imagine. What really carries weight is the diagnosis, not by his stripes I was healed. How does that get dealt with? What do we need to press on with the Lord? We need his word. I mean, well, of course we need his word, but I mean we really need his word. I don't mean we're supposed to read the Bible more. I mean there are things that have to be changed inside of you that require the working of the word of God in your life. And for you to go to the next level is really going to involve another level of being involved with the word. I'm not talking about I already read half an hour and I'm already late for work, so I guess I'll have to read for an hour. I'm not talking about some weird thing like that. I'm talking about a heart attitude toward his word that allows you to be worked with on the inside so that thoughts that you genuinely hold as being reasonable now, you just lay aside. You know, in 2 Timothy, Paul, 2 Timothy is the last book that Paul wrote. It's written to Timothy, and he talks about some pretty serious and terrible things in it. He says, you know, but realize this. In the last days, difficult times are going to come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money. And he gives this whole list. And unfortunately, he's not talking about the world. He's talking about the church. This is what the church is going to be like. And then he encourages Timothy. And in chapter 4, he says, here's what you're going to do about it. I solemnly charge you. In the presence of God and of Jesus Christ our Savior, preach the word. Why didn't he say pray? Why didn't he say evangelize? The word of God being preached is not merely the thing that Christians ought to do. You need the preaching of the word. And I don't just mean from somebody like me standing in front of you. You need to preach to yourself what the scriptures say. You need to receive what the word is saying. You know, no, we don't have time. You need to receive the word and you need to meditate upon it. I'm not saying to you anything that you don't already know. But as I said to you, oftentimes our problems are not stuff that we don't know. It's stuff that we do know and and don't work on. Think about it this way. There is something going on inside of you that cannot change with the best of your intentions. It needs the working of the word. You just need to be more and more filled with it. Jesus was a man like us. He was a human being like us with the big difference that he had never fallen. What he did as a man. It's very important for us to realize this. Of course, he did it as a perfect man, a man who had never had a break in fellowship with God. But what he did not do with his own superpowers, if you'd like. Because he was, in a very real sense, the last Adam, if you'd like. He came to do what Adam was supposed to be like. But because Adam fell, what God really wanted to do in and through Adam wasn't possible, so Jesus came. But the point to see here was not that Jesus was doing what he was doing because God Almighty can do anything. He was 100% believing God at every stage. He believed God. Why? The Word of God in him. He was the Word of God, of course, but the Word of God in him did something whereby when he saw circumstance, he didn't see what we see, what human beings could do. He only saw what God could do. He saw the unseeable. And that is what the Word of God has to do in us. There are things that you and I want to reach out for that the best of our intelligence and the best of our sincerity, as well-meaning as we are, it can't accomplish it. But the Word of God can in us. There has to be such a dislodging of things that are for sure. Like, I'm not lying to you when I say I don't think I can walk on water. It's been my entire experience, all my life, that if I step on water, I fall into it. I told you about my back. You know, there are certain physical conditions now that I don't get troubled with. Simply because I really do believe God has healed me. I used to be always sick with a cold. I was either getting better and then going into another one or vice versa. But I was always sick with the cold. And then when I began to understand certain things about the scriptures, what they said about healing and what they said made possible, I stopped having colds as a routine occurrence. But my back, that is a different ball game altogether. And it troubles me, it bothers me that I can't just take what I already know and just make it go away. Why? Because there is such a deep-seated thing in me that says, this just does not work here. There is not something new to work. The blood of Jesus is the blood of Jesus. The sacrifice on the cross is the sacrifice on the cross. The completed, perfect work is the perfect, completed work. It just is. I don't need something different for my back than I needed for my cold. But there is a thought in here that is so deeply lodged that says, this is not possible. And then what happens? If I'm not careful, I allow my experience, I allow what other people say, I allow what the world says is normal to define for me how things ought to be. The reason why I'm still sick is because, well, take your pick, all of the reasons why people have. And, you know, I'm sharing with you the fact that I did not get well immediately, and I still have so much further to go. You know, I will confess, just for your benefit, the thought of, oh, what's going to happen the next time my back hurts can always be in the back of my mind because I so hate it. But God wants me to break through. The thing that allows me to receive healing for colds is the same thing that allows me to receive healing for my back or for cancer. And not only just for me. You know, one of the things that you've been told to do is to go and lay hands on sick people. He did not say, please don't misunderstand what I'm about to say. Please do not misunderstand what I'm about to say. He did not say, wait for people to come and ask you to seek you out in your hermitage somewhere that they would finally have somebody pray for you. When you encounter somebody who is sick, it is a normal thing for you to expect that if I lay hands on this person and pray, they'll get better. Now, why I said don't misunderstand, I am not telling you to go and find every sick person you find and just put your hands on them, whether they want you to or not. Okay? Don't be jerks. When all is said and done, we want to represent Jesus as he is. And he is caring. He never went in, I don't care what you think, I'm going to make you better. That's all there's to it. Don't be like that. What I'm trying to illustrate is there should not be even the shadow of question in your heart. If I lay hands on this person, they will recover. Yes, you're supposed to call for elders if someone is sick. No question that the elder has a responsibility. But Jesus didn't say that just about elders. He said, believers in my name will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So why is it then that there are times when I'm asked to lay on things and I'm thinking, oh, I hope they don't ask me. You know, they start talking about, oh, this circumstance is going on and I'm so sick with here. And I heard that and inside me is, yeah, just don't ask me to pray. Just don't ask me to pray. Just don't ask me to pray. Because I don't think anything's going to happen. I'm not like that now, I'll just say. At least I'm not normally like that. Why? How can I know that the scriptures say to do that? And I'm still questioning it. You got to recognize this about yourself. What you believe is not merely what you intellectually know to think. What you believe is much more deep in you than just that surfacey stuff that you think. It's the Word of God that can take stuff that you know and understand and make it your expectation. So when I talk to you about a different level of being involved with the Word, I'm preaching to as much to myself and my family as I am to yours and your family. And I'm saying it as this. God wants us to be involved with the Word, not so that we fulfill our quota, but He wants to help us. That's why we ought to be involved with the Word. He wants to help you reach something that you can't reach on your own. We need the working of His Word. We need our request. The psalmist said, when you said to me, seek my face, I thought it was cool and I'm waiting for you to do it. No, he said, my heart said to you, thy face, O Lord, I shall seek. God will not force you, kicking and screaming, into more in Him. Choose it. Express it. I want more of you, Father. I cry out to you. Paul prayed that spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. He was talking about believers. He was talking about praying for people who already believed in Jesus, that they would have a spirit of wisdom and revelation, that they might grow and increase in the true knowledge of God. We can do the same. And I put this to you again. What is required of us to go on in the Lord? We need the Word of God. We need our request, and we need to make a choice. Because God will not force you to go deeper with Him. He makes it possible. He sets the table. He makes sure the food is good, safe. But He will not chew it for you and put it in your mouth. You got to eat it. You got to choose it. And so recognize that about yourself. Sometimes we are stuck where we are simply because of a choice. Now, I know that that can be painful to hear, especially when you are sincere. I'm not saying these things to condemn anybody, because as I said to you, I'm as much in need of help from the Lord in going on as anybody in here. I'm saying this because at some point in time, we got to take the bull by the horns and say, this is, to mix my cliches, call a spade a spade. The problem here is not God. And even if I've wasted years stuck somewhere, I don't got to keep acting like I'm stuck here. God is free to do whatever He wants, whenever He wants it. And in the meantime, let me get involved with what He said to get involved with. I want, Father, Your Word to go so deep in me that I start thinking what You think. Like, which one of us, when you hear so-and-so's daughter just died, which one of us thinks, oh, let's go pray for her? Because that's what Jesus did, right? He heard that somebody's child had died. He was going and said, well, let me come and pray for him. There wasn't the expectation of, well, let me see what I can do. Maybe something can work. He really had the expectation, if he asks, this is going to happen. That does not happen by good instruction, by being part of the right church, by singing loud, singing well. It happens as a result of the operation of the Word of God in our life, causing us to make request and causing us to choose to go deeper than we have. And I exhort you, brethren, let's go deeper with God. I exhort you to encourage me and help me to go deeper with God. Because there is so much that God wants to both give to you and do in you, but more importantly, do through you to help other people. And he's got more to work with than just sincerity. So let's take this seriously. Let's seek to press on with the Lord. Let's, in your own time, just make a request of God. Help me, Father, to grow in my love for your word in these coming days, that I would spend more time in it. Let's give thanks to the Lord. Let's praise him, and then we'll go on from here. Thank you very much for bearing with me.